Broadcasting 2.0 for September 22nd, 2023, episode 147. We're like lavender. Oh, yeah. Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to Podcasting 2.0, your Friday afternoon delight. We are the only boardroom that cannot be deplatformed, and it is here that we discuss the future of podcasting. Podcasting that is now, everything going on at podcastindex.org, the namespace, and of course, all the happenings at podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama. He streams, he screams, he's the man of your dreams. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to my friend on the other end, the one and only Mr. Dave Jones.
It's always a race to get that last bite of food swallowed before you end the intro and say my name, because I'm like chewing like a furious maniac.
You know, we could always just wait until you're done and then start the show. It's really not a problem.
I ain't got time to wait. We got to move.
Stuff to do, baby. Got stuff to handle, and we got a guest today as well. So there's lots going on here at the Podcasting 2.0 show. And crazy enough, when it rains, it pours. Mm-hmm. You brought clips and I brought clips.
No.
We both brought clips. No, we did not bring the same clips. And since I'm going to step aside and say, Dave, first of all, how you doing? How you doing, brother?
I'm good.
Yeah, what you been working on? You been working on anything?
I've been working on a roast beef sandwich for the last 12 minutes.
I'm done with that. How's the office? Is the office okay? Everything good with the office?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, office is fine.
Yeah, not too bad.
All good.
Yeah.
Everything's going good. I was very grumpy last week.
What, during the show? Well, no, I thought I lifted you up a little bit near the end there.
Yeah, this is a much better. This is like back to normal baseline, Dave. This week, I'm feeling good. I figured out what my issue was last week. The enemy had invaded and thrown a smoke bomb on me.
That's exactly.
I figured out what it was. Mm-hmm.
Well, when you started wishing gonorrhea on people, I knew something was off. This is not the Dave Jones. And by the way, the AI transcription service caught it. It spelled gonorrhea correctly. It's very impressive.
That is amazing. It can spell gonorrhea, but it can't spell John C. DeVore.
No matter how many times I correct it.
It's AI. It's great.
It's exactly what. Oh, man. So my I have a Start 9 Pro here in the shack.
And you're talking about is this the Start 9 that won't run helipad? Because I haven't done my thing yet.
No, it's run helipad. I just couldn't upgrade. And in fact, Eric PP cut me a new, I guess it's an APK, I think, oddly enough. Oh. He cut me a new whatever it is, and so I upgraded. So I'm now on the
a new whatever it is.
New whatever it is, and it upgraded. You know, actually, I had to delete the old the upgrade path. That part doesn't work, so I had to delete and then sideload it, and works perfectly. In fact, it's so stable. The Start 9 as a Bitcoin node, as a Lightning node, I'm transitioning everything away from the Surface laptop that has kind of been the, you know, my node for forever, which does from time to time just kind of freeze up and do weird stuff.
Also, as
Umbral does,
as the Surface lineup is known to do.
Yes, as the combo Surface Umbral is just not a good combo, really.
No, that's a terrible combo.
And, you know, and then if it freezes and it comes back up, then you have a new logical drive, and you have to remove Docker containers, and you know, it's a whole pain in the butt. So the Start 9 is beautiful. I mean, you know, you can throw it against the wall, just reboot it. It's kind of Mac-like in that way. It just works. And they released ChatGPT and Diffusion for the Start OS. So I've been playing.
You sent me a screenshot of this.
Yeah. So I played around. I think it's 8 or 9 different models they have, LLMs, and I've been messing around with it. And it's compared to the Umbral, it's super fast. I mean, it's fast, and you can load the, I think, pretty big. Like I said, there's one 7 gigabyte model, I think, which will take a little longer to get a response. Mm. And in general, it's pathetic. I mean, all the stuff I've done with it, like it does scripture really well. If you're looking for scripture, that, you know, I
How
guess
does it?
Yeah,
that's
well,
interesting.
Yeah, but it, you know, there's so much.
Scripture is kind of open source, you know. It's like it's been around for a while, so there's a lot of
it's the OG FOSS.
It really is. So there's a lot of text available, and the context of that is quite good. So you know, I was looking for something, and boom, it'll bring it right up. It's actually quite good at that. But everything else, you know, don't use it as some kind of knowledge engine. You know, if you want, you know, like, no. Who is Adam Curry? You know, before you know it, I went to the college Dave Weiner went to. I mean, it's so stupid.
mean, that makes so much sense.
Yes. Yeah. It's just, but I guess for writing, you know, some things, you know, it's used. But anyway, it's just, I'm really blown away by the robustness of the Start OS, and of course, particularly the Start 9 Pro, because I think it's the Purism hardware, mm-hmm. and it's good. It's just solid. It makes me very, very happy. It runs all. It runs everything well.
So the LLMs run. It's you're saying it's passable. Like it can get the job done in a pinch. Like it's not going to be, because it's clearly not GPU accelerated.
No, but it's not slow. It's not slow at all. It's not as fast as mm-hmm. GPT-3, you know, the chat.openai.whatever.org. Right. That goes faster, but result wise, it's the same. I mean, it will get me the same bad results.
Without much waiting.
Yeah. Yeah, just a little slower. Just a little bit slower. So it's not too much of a problem.
A buddy of mine runs has a decent graphics card. I mean, it's, you know, $500 graphics card. Mm-hmm. And which is not unreasonable in that market. I mean, that's pretty normal, run of the mill. But anyway, he has that. It's got, I think, 16 gigs of RAM mm-hmm. on his onboard on the card. Mm-hmm. And that is enough to just run pretty much any LLM out there. And the cool thing of what he showed me is like when it comes. So the one thing LLMs can do, and this makes a lot of sense because I think they can do programming better than they can natural language. Because natural language has lots of nuance.
Oh, you know, and, yes, you know, yes, it does scripting very well. You know, I've done some shell scripts. Oh, very. By the way, it's the Pure, not the Pro. It's a Start 9 Server Pure. That's the one that it is. Yeah. Oh, your scripting it does phenomenal. I mean, I've run a couple of scripts, just simple. You know, I'm just looking for a shell script to do something very easy because I can look at a shell script and I go, oh yeah, I get it. And those work. Mm-hmm. Those work fine, and it's pretty quickly.
So, it's so good that like one of the this sort of, and it's not a secret project, but it's this one of these things I'm working on that I was going to talk to you about later. Mm-hmm. Is it requires? So do you remember?
Wait a minute. Is this where we say in the board meeting? Yeah, we'll talk about that offline.
No. Oh Lord, no. We would never do that. I don't think we really don't have any offline. There's really nothing.
This is it. We don't even talk at all. This is our chat. Yeah. This is our weekly chat. That's true.
Yep. I can go ahead and tell you about it. So I will paste. Let me just paste this into the chat.
See
if this even works.
Into the chat?
Into the IRC.
Okay. All right. Do not execute whatever code Dave is about to paste, everybody. Do not execute it. Whatever's going on, do not execute.
Just go ahead and pipe it to bash. It'll be fine. Okay, let's see if this... So I'm going to see if this is... Right, this is fun because it may crash things.
So this is AI code that you've...
No, this is not AI. No, this is not AI. No, this is. Oh, do you see that?
Yeah, I see that. Yeah, let me hit that. Let me hit that.
Hit it.
Radio. Okay, I'm not going to mention the URL. Let me see.
Yeah. No,
okay.
Because
it's not coming up yet.
Not coming up.
No.
Okay.
Should it be an HTTPS? Is it?
No, it should not be HTTPS.
Okay. Well, that shouldn't. It's not coming up here for me.
Let's see if it comes up for me. I may have just given everybody a. False hope.
Thanks. Thanks, bro. No, I got can't be reached.
You need sudo.
Is port 8000? That's the idea here?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not working.
No.
Well, what I was
thanks for nothing.
the big downer.
It's a real downer. I'm now like, what were you working on? Well, a stream, so some kind of stream of some sort.
Oh, Mita says he's hearing something. Okay. Well, it's evidently not working for some people, and some people it is working for.
Could there be a block here? Let me see. Could
there be like, I've noticed that some browsers just, God, they do not want to do HTTP. Like,
oh, no kidding. No kidding. Let me try this browser. I got another browser here. Well, if Midas could hear it, then something's working. Hold on.
See. You know what actually worked pretty well?
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
That, whatever that is.
Boy, okay, that's so you got it come up.
Yeah. I use the I use my Tor browser, funny enough.
Okay, so what this is.
Let me guess. Is this the top 100 playing in real time?
It is not the top 100.
Okay.
It is.
Oh.
It is
a combo of all the music podcasts?
Yes.
Oh! I love it. I love it.
It's basically value for value radio. So all if you have a DJ show, mm-hmm. you have a music show.
Yeah, it'll show up here.
It will begin to play through this Icecast server.
Now, how do I send a boost to it?
That's why it's a test.
Yeah,
to figure this out because
okay.
So here's the deal. So Jason what's his buddy's name that works on Podcast Guru with him?
Hold on, what's this?
Breaking the chains of music tyranny.
What is this?
Value for value.
That's Lightning Thrashers. That's
all right,
nice. Libra show.
Nice. Okay. All right, Jason. Jason, what?
Is it Jason and I can't remember his name. Alex, maybe over at Podcast Guru. So they want to support live mm-hmm. value time splits. You know.
Yeah.
And we don't. So Stephen B created that live. The way he's doing it now is he's doing it with a socket.
The web socket.
.io.
Yeah, web socket. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not actually WebSocket, it's socket.io.
Oh, okay. I'm going to stop this.
And which is a hosted socket service.
Mm-hmm.
So he created that just to facilitate what he was doing. He's like, okay, we're going to do live. We need some way to signal during the live broadcast that a split has changed.
Right.
So a different song is now playing.
A different block is active. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. The wallet switching technology has mm-hmm. activated.
Yes. Hey, so that's catching on, that wallet switching technology. Everyone's using it.
Yeah, WST.
Yeah, I love it. It's actually MWST, Magic Wallet Switching Technology.
Oh, I forgot the M.
Yes, I forgot the M.
So he brought that to life, but it's not documented anywhere. It's not a standard. There's nobody else knows how to do this. It's just purely a CurioCaster split kit thing.
Kind of works in that environment. Yeah. Yes. I use it regularly.
It is the non-magical wallet switching technology. It's basically the cloaked wallet switching technology.
Yes. It's stealth.
So I figured this would be a way to, if I bring up a 24/7 radio stream of all the DJ shows,
yeah,
then we can use that as a sandbox in order to hammer down
how we do this.
The socket protocol needs to be.
Okay.
So I'll bring up a socket next to it. Then we can figure, and then I'm going to put a feed on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's like, what it needs. Be, right. It needs a feed.
Yeah. So there'll be, it'll be 24/7 value or something, you know, whatever the name of this station is. And then I'll have a feed, and then you can play it in all the different podcast apps. And then we'll have to figure out how to signal the socket protocol.
Wow. This is exactly what I was talking about on like the last Boostagram ball. I said, someday in the future, I can envision ... I said a 24 hour mm-hmm. stream of music shows, and here it is. I didn't even ask you this time. You just did it.
I didn't even hear you say that.
Well, this is how good we are. This is how good we are, Dave. We don't even have to talk to each other.
the Vulcan mind meld has reached its full maturity.
This is what No Agenda Stream needs as well. I mean, this is to be able to do this on any Icecast server, it would be a huge deal. Huge deal.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Agreed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need a standard socket protocol for this. If so, you know, the first thought I had was doing what you said originally, was like just playing all the songs. And I'm like, you know what? But that's not a radio station. Mm-mm. The radio station has DJs.
Yeah, it has shows. Exactly.
Has shows, yeah. And then it solidified it when I heard Sir Libra say on podcastindex.social that he had not made very much, you know, boost. He had not made very much in boosts. And he was disappointed. And he was like, how should I do my marketing? Like, how should I market my show so we get more people interested in listening? I'm like, okay, well, this is what we need to do. We need to have some sort of stream out there or radio thing where people can listen to these shows. Now, long-term, I mean, do we want to host something like this? I don't know. It's a sandbox, and that kind of stuff can get expensive. But I think at least for a model of how to do it, that this is what value for value radio would look like.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, this is exactly it. This is what I want. I want to get in my car. I want to just flip on my my toilet scroller, what has my wallet set up, and it, you know, I've got 200 sats a minute or whatever, and I just want to continuously be listening and drain my wallet while I'm listening, and I want the sats to go to the DJs. I want the sats to go to the artists. That's exactly it.
Cool. Okay.
That'd be beautiful. Well done. I'd love it. Okay. I'd love it.
I got to get the SSL or the TLS stuff figured out and all that kind of stuff. It's not ready for prime time. So I just wanted, that's why I only put it in the chat, because I didn't want to, like, you know, get a bunch of hammers on that URL.
I'm excited. Can I use your ISO?
What ISO? Oh yeah. Go for it.
This feels good.
Yeah. Looked like the perfect ISO to me.
ISOs are fire at will always. Yeah. Okay. That's what I've been working on. I had to learn IceCast and EasyStream.
Yeah, I did not know anything about it. That's not trivial. That's not trivial. Very nice, but, man. Very nice.
I forgot what I... Oh, I remember why I brought this up. I remember now. Okay, so the point was that... do you remember this little program that I wrote called Sucky?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so all it does is... sucks down, you give it a feed URL and it parses the podcast feed and then sucks all the enclosures down. So it's just basically an archival.
Yes.
You just give it a feed and it archives all the enclosures.
That was one of your more appropriately named scripts, Sucky.
Yes. 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 Sucky. It sucks. Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's, I was, Sucky forms the bedrock of value for value 24/7 radio. So, cause it's constantly pulling the feed in
and it continuously pulls in the new show.
Yes. So I give it the list of feed URLs, and then it's just constantly just going and making sure it's up to date and it's got the latest shows and everything.
And does it replace? So it's playing like Boostagram Ball number 8 now. When number 9 is available, does it automatically swap that out, or does it keep 8 in for a while? Does it have, you know, multiple? What is it doing?
What's the algo?
No intelligence. Good.
No algo. Yes. Perfect. It's basically it's the shuffle setting in EasyStream. That's what you get.
Okay, I love it. It's fantastic.
Yes. So the but as I was looking, so Sucky is a very, very tiny program. Like, I don't know, a couple hundred lines of code.
Doesn't take much to suck.
It does. Actually, you can suck with very few lines of
code. Very few lines of code. Yeah.
But as I was looking at it, it's written in Rust. And as I was looking at it, I was like, you know, I could have probably written this whole thing with an LLM.
That's where you were going. Right. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. If you just look at the structure of it, you're like, if you just say, give me a Rust program to download a podcast feed and parse it and download each attachment one after another.
I said, write a Rust script to download MP3s from a podcast RSS feed.
Perfect.
We're waiting. It's got three dots. It's going.
Your start nine is about to just barf.
Well, I'm in a very small model, actually. I'm in the Marx 3B. Here we go. Create an account on a website like Libsyn or Feedburner that allows you to create an RSS feed for your podcast. Download a script called RSS Reader. Oh, this is not writing me a script.
That's lame.
This is giving me a script to read on the show. No.
I wonder if it's because you use the word script instead of like something like source code.
Okay.
Hold on. I wonder if that threw it for
right. Let's try that. And otherwise, I'll try it. I don't know. Just write Rust source code. Otherwise, I'll try a different LLM while we're doing something else.
Our guest is proficient at Rust. He could have probably already written this program in the time it takes to type it into.
Why don't we bring our guest in? Because it's not like he doesn't know what he's talking about when it comes to all this stuff. I mean, he is kind of leading somewhat of the value for value hosting revolution. Would you say?
I would say.
I think we bring him in and, you know, and he can participate in everything, including listening to our clips, because we got a lot to talk about. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the boardroom from rssboo.com, Dovi Das.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, London.
You're a master of the pregnant pause.
Suspense. Yeah, very nice. Very nice. Hello, Dovi Das. Right.
It's always very difficult to decide how enthusiastic you should be when entering a podcast. You know, if you are too reserved, people are going to think you're boring. And if you are too enthusiastic, people are going to think you're someone like Howard Dean.
Wait, I have that. Yeah. I have the Dean scream somewhere. Don't I? Dean. Now, interesting. On this show, interesting reference.
Not too much. You cannot be too enthusiastic.
There it is. Although the new scream is the. Did you hear that? The guy who was the witness to the F-35 crash.
No.
Listen to this.
In the bathroom taking a shave, and I heard a screeching. Saw that between a screech and a whistle. I said, "What in the world is this?"
Dang,
that guy's the
that
best.
Guy's got some pipes.
I said, "What in the world is this?"
You got to see that. This guy is phenomenal. He's so good.
That's almost the goat scream. This is a fantastic.
It is very close. It's very close to the goat scream. In fact, extremely close. So, Dovi Das, now we've had you on the show before, haven't we? Am I mistaken?
I don't think so. I don't remember that.
Oh, man.
Negative.
Well, that's lame. And so I didn't even know that you were in London to start with. You've been there for 8 years, I learned in our little preamble.
I have, yes. Yesterday was my 8-year anniversary of arriving here.
Congratulations. Now, do you have a British citizenship, or are you working on a visa? What changed with Brexit?
So after Brexit, what happened, the European Union citizens, which I am, were offered essentially a scheme to stay in the UK using what they call settled status. Mm. So that's what they have now. And I essentially have an indefinite right to remain here.
Oh, that's nice, because the European Union did not offer the same courtesy to British citizens. I was in Spain and, you know, there was this little village, Sitges. And it had a British, you know, that polo club, that a British school, and they were all closed. Everybody had to leave.
Yikes. Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So where are you from originally, Dovi Das?
I'm originally from Lithuania, Eastern Europe.
Now, I must say right off the bat that my wife, Tina the Keeper, is half Lithuanian.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's nice.
I always call her a semi-backup Russian. If we run out of Russians, we can always use the Lithuanians. That'd be fine. It'd just be fine to use you guys.
Emergency break glass in case of lack of Russians. Yes.
So we definitely want to get your input on a lot of this stuff, Dovi Das. You've built an interesting company, because I think it's... I have heard an interview with you. And I think is it just you who's doing all of the work at rssblue.com?
That's correct. So I do have a day job, but in my spare time, I have built RSS Blue, which is essentially this attempt to bring modern standards to podcasting and offer better experience than anything that closed source and essentially proprietary standards could offer, let's say, in Spotify or Apple.
Well, you're doing a fine job because you're so ahead of the game that I see. Well, we talked about it on podcastindex.social. You even now have an on-ramp for musicians, for people to get their music up. And I haven't gone through the path, but I presume it makes it clear how they fill out the right fields and make it albums and tracks, etc.
Oh, that's correct. So what we do have at RSS Blue is essentially an interface that is actually dependent on the medium you choose. So you can have a regular podcast, but you can also set the medium to music, which will interpret your podcast as a music album. So you will see a different interface where you will be asked, instead of episodes, to upload tracks. You will see specific fields for things like lyrics and so on. And there is a very accessible interface to essentially enable value for value. And we support the most general standard. Essentially, you can use any wallet you want. Albi, Fountain, anything else that supports KeySend protocol. And essentially, the next step would be to enable music shows. So value, time split, mm-hmm. then.
Yeah, magic wallet switching technology. That's right.
So that's the next thing I'm going to work on.
Do you have people using the medium equals music tag yet?
So there are a few albums on RSS Blue. So I'll admit Wall Lake is currently dominating that area, but I feel RSS Blue can offer a superior experience because we actually offer the full V4E model with splits.
Yeah, nice.
And everything.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
So are you, do you have integration with Albi and Fountain so that you could, if you're a podcaster, you can
switch,
you know, fire up a wallet from there, from your UI, or do you have to go and get all that information and then plug it in like bit by bit to your UI?
Right. So I wanted to avoid very coupled integration. So I want to have a service, RSS Blue, which, like Unix, you know, does one thing and does it well. But what I do use is these public protocols where people don't even need to log in to essentially retrieve their details from Albi or Fountain. All they have to enter is their Lightning address, like adam@fountain.fm. Mm-hmm. And all of these details are essentially automatically retrieved. And I believe RSS Blue was the first company to do that. And I've seen other companies now adopt this kind of approach.
Yeah, Sovereign Feeds has used this for quite a while. I'll give Stephen Bell some props. When you do your value block, it has it has all this, you know, it has Fountain, it has Albi, and another.
Yeah, so
one,
I think this was adapted from RSS Blue.
Oh, really?
Because we did that. Yeah, I think this was done last year, and I think someone from Albi essentially suggested to do the same in Sovereign Feeds.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can, and Hive as well. I see. I see that Sovereign Feeds has used V4V.app for the Hive thing.
Right. So I had that too. Essentially, so we had essentially three buttons: Fountain, Albi, and Hive.
Yeah.
But now I have a very general interface where essentially you just enter any Lightning address, and it attempts to retrieve the details using the KeySend protocol, which is, you know, just like a URL.
Right. Nice. Well, that's so cool, man. And I guess I would ask, you know, I know how Dave's life runs. You know, he has a day job, and I think he sits at his desk and is probably looking at the logs of the index and all of the servers all the time. And checked probably not really doing his real job. Do you see, are you able to combine this?
Shh. I mean, it's difficult. It's difficult because exactly. I'm so enthusiastic about this project. But yes, it's a difficult thing to balance. And, you know, in the future, I would ideally want to shift to entirely RSS Blue.
Right.
To spend all my time on this project because I feel this is just so important and something that I'm passionate about.
How close are you? Do you think, is it just a matter of getting more customers, I presume? Or would that also mean you have to scale help desk, etc.?
Well, it's difficult. I mean, ideally, I would want to bootstrap to essentially have enough customers so that I can do this full time. But external funding is not out of the question. So I will see what's the best approach to essentially make this my full-time job.
What is your what's your stack look like, David? What is your back end? How's that built? I have some sense of what you're doing, but lay that out for me.
Right. So one thing I hate is JavaScript. So there is just a minimum amount
five,
of it.
High five.
High five. Just on the front end. But the back end is powered mostly by Go. So it's a simple language that can easily manage many requests at a time. Simple to write in and so on. But recently I've been starting to move some of the stuff to Rust. Because I feel it provides a lot of compile time safety through its very rich type system. Again, it's not easy because Rust is so essentially innovative that some of the other parts that have to interact with it don't work that well. So, for example, if you look at databases, there's often a mismatch of what can be expressed in Rust and what can actually be expressed in database like Postgres or something like that.
So do you think, what are your feelings about Go versus async Rust? Do you think that that's, there's a lot of rumblings right now about async Rust being just not.
Yeah. If I could just say, I totally agree. I think async Rust is just total pain in the ass.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I knew you felt that way. That's why I brought it.
Just wanted to let you know. I don't know what Dovidas thinks.
Yeah.
So what do you mean, Dave? I'm not really familiar with that debate.
I know a lot of people think that it's ill-conceived, that it's basically that there's going to have to be some sort of rewrite that goes on because of the,
in Rust?
I guess some of the assumptions. Yeah, specifically the asynchronous part, to bring it more in line with something like Go, where parallelizing is way easier.
So I'll admit I don't have that much experience of that. What I know is that Rust, for example, lacks some functionality, some async functionality in certain parts of the language. So, for example, you can't really do methods like implementations that right. are async. You essentially just have to have separate functions that are async. But to be honest, I haven't really familiarized myself with that part.
Okay. Just thought I'd ask. What can you lay out? What I have a list here on the apps page of what tags you support, but this may not be up to date. What do you have currently on 2.0 tags?
So one of the main features, as we've discussed, is value for value. And again, it's one thing to essentially implement the feature. And it's still another thing to do it well with a very easy to understand interface. So that's what I've essentially been doing for a long time to essentially perfect the intuitive nature of value for value. The fact that you can have multiple recipients of value, that they can have different splits, and that these addresses can come from multiple services.
Have you...
a lot of work has been... Yep.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I know that really what it comes down to in the hosting game is, you know, it's the tools. There's, I would say, a lot of customers go for pricing. And I know that you have like a base price of $5 or $6 a month, which is quite low. Have you considered this, since you are kind of early in the game or in the early in the... in the evolution of the company and the product, but also in as a business, have you considered doing pure value for value and taking a split in lieu of regular payment?
I have, though, to be honest, it is kind of difficult to ensure that the company gets paid the fair amount. So if we do, for example, enable a feature of instead of, you know, collecting some subscription fee per month, let's say, maybe instead doing a value split, it doesn't really guarantee that the podcasters are going to ask for that value throughout all the their episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't ask for value, no one is going to send that value, and the company is not going to receive it either. So I think that's the main difficulty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does require a little closer communication, I would say, with your customers.
Mm.
Honestly, I don't think you even have to go as loose as that. I mean, to my knowledge, there's no podcast hosting company around that will just take Bitcoin as payment. I mean, even if you just sent a Lightning invoice.
Oh, there's that.
If you just sent a Lightning invoice once a month for the monthly hosting fee,
you'd attract the right customers.
Right. Yeah. And then you'd be more likely for that. But, you're not saying, well, here you can be hosted and then just, pay what you want. You're saying, well, hey, there is a minimum cost and we're going to bill you for that. If you don't meet it mm-hmm. each month, we're going to bill you for that by sending you a Lightning invoice in your email each month. And if you don't pay, we're going to cut you off like anybody else. That would be because
I would send people to you if you did that. And the people I send are high quality. Of course.
Of course. it's difficult. It's difficult. You also don't want to appear that you are taking too much. If there is some minimum monthly fee and then on top there's some split, some people may feel this is just too much taken from what they rightly earn.
I think you'd be surprised.
Yeah, I think you'd be surprised too. I know several people who use, let's put it this way. I've cut people into my value blocks and they make more than $6 a month for stuff they do or stuff they've done or for technology we're using. They make significantly more than that. And it's something about it, Dovidas, that as a podcaster, I kind of just forgot. It's like it's just a part of life, and it hasn't. Hey, my script is done.
Oh, do tell.
Hold on a second. Now you need to have the request thing installed. Here, put it in the chat. There we go. So I need that.
Okay,
check it out. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just want to paste this.
Yes, that's legit. That's legit.
Hold on.
Are you going to post this in line by line?
No, no, it's not done. I'm sorry. It's still
it's still producing.
Yeah, but it's right. It's writing.
I want you to paste this Rust source of it into IRC line by line, and then have IRC the Boostbot compile it.
Okay. Now that would be cool. That would be cool. And it's just something to consider, Dovidas. I got a lot of feel. I think Dave does too. I have so many feelings about what's happening with podcasting. The podcast industrial complex, which people still believe is a $2 billion advertising market in the United States alone. I'm just blown away by this statistic, which is there's no evidence whatsoever. I cannot find the money. I can find 100 million. Sure. There's
podcast one down to $2.11,
which is a travesty. I mean, because the people on the inside who got options and when I read that they're going to, we're going to issue stock. Now, I think that's kind of a punt. They have to restrike the options. I had to do this myself. So I know this pain where you have employees and podcasters and you said, okay, we're going to let you buy. We're going to give you stock at $3. So when it comes out at $8, but you have a lockup for 90 days. So you can't do anything with it, sometimes it's longer than 90 days. And then people see their options are underwater. So, you essentially are at a loss. If you wanted to convert them, you'd have to pay money just to get the stock. And, it takes many, many quarters of good numbers. With good, I mean on projection. You don't have to make profit as long as you can project and say, okay, this is how much we're going to lose, or this is the path that we get to profitability, which I might point out, as far as I know, no company has shown. Well, Spotify hasn't shown it for sure. I don't think Acast has shown it.
It's at $2.08. I mean, it's about to go under $2. This is just, well, I think I understand. So it is. So I heard a interview. I heard an interview with the CEO of Podcast One.
This is a funny guy. He's kind of a Goomba. He's kind of like a New Jersey guy. Yeah. What's his
name? He's got a great accent.
What's his name?
Ellen. I think his last name's Ellen, but I don't, I don't remember his first name. But, yeah, so he kind of lays out, this interview was with Yahoo Finance. And so he lays out a lot of, I think he's just laying it all out on the table here. I mean, I think he's a fairly honest dude about where they're going, and he's telling exactly what their strategy is, I believe.
When you make the decision to go public
queue, and then you went up. You can't leave too much of a pause. Let's try it again. We'll cut it out. No one will know the difference.
Okay, yeah, let's go back to edit. So he lays out the strategy. The only problem is the strategy is probably one that is not going to work because it's been tried about 100 times.
When you make the decision to go public now and you did this via a SPAC, why did this make sense for your company?
Sure. Great question.
All right, I got to stop right there. So did they back into a SPAC?
No. No, they did not. He's wrong. She's wrong about this.
Oh, okay, because it was a spin out from Live One. So,
And he goes over that. Yeah.
Yeah. It was not a liquidity event. They didn't raise money. They just took a piece and then they said it'll be more valuable on its own. And it turns out, it is. It's twice as valuable as their own company, which is about at $1.25. All right, here we go.
When you make the decision to go public now and you did this via a SPAC, why did this make sense for your company?
Sure. Great question. This wasn't a SPAC. This is actually the first time ever done in history where it was a spinoff of a minority stake.
Apologies.
So we uplisted our stock. And the reason that we did it is, and we started this process almost 8 months ago. It got delayed a little bit by NASDAQ. By the time it finally got done, we had already achieved a lot of our goals. And one of those goals was to acquire additional podcast networks. So this is that kind of perfect storm in podcasting. You had this wild cycle. Spotify, Apple, iHeart, spending billions and billions and billions of dollars at, big multiples, right, to acquire both individual podcasts, whether it's Joe Rogan or is buying networks or buying technology. Now is that opportunity where there's a window where a sophisticated management team like ours, who has the history of doing this, the history of doing it in radio, and now in podcasting, could acquire and roll up multiple as podcast networks. So we've bought a distressed asset called Cast Media, very distressed, troubled asset, was owed a lot of money to its podcasters and couldn't really afford to pay them. And the banks pulled out and debt holders pulled out. So we acquired those and have added some very serious revenues to it. So this morning we announced as part of the uplisting, we increased our guidance from $34 million last year to this year being $47 to $53 million. And for the first time, I have a very serious EBITDA for $4 to $5 million of EBITDA. So dramatic turn for the company. And I fully expect to use that currency going forward for additional acquisitions.
It's a roll-up strategy. I've done one of these.
Yeah. It's the scoop and score. You catch them on the way down when they're distressed and when they're looking, looking bad, and you just hope that what you're catching is not a falling knife. And she challenges him a little bit on that because in clip two, because she's like, hey, this is not, but things are looking kind of rough though, right?
Rob, on that point that you made about where the podcast industry is, I mean, it feels like there's a bit of a shakedown that's happening. There were some big names that were acquired, especially for Spotify. We were talking about Meghan Markle's podcast, for example, earlier today, that haven't necessarily performed well. Are we at a saturation point? How would you characterize the state of the industry right now?
The beginning.
Oh, I tried to grab it.
Sorry about that. Yeah, sorry.
No. This is a different version of the. It's a young industry.
It's only 20 years old. It's young.
Yes, this is a different version of that old favorite, which is not. It's not even now. It's not even young.
We're just getting started.
Now it's like a fetus.
It's so new. I mean, it's only been around since 2018. Who knows?
How would you characterize the state of the industry right now?
The beginning of the beginning.
The beginning of the beginning. Oh, brother. Oh, brother. All right.
We're really in the first, maybe second inning of podcasting. It's grown since COVID from $400 million to $1.3
billion. What?
But, you know, from all the numbers are indicating globally, it'll be a $7 to $10 billion industry by 2030.
Oh.
So you're going to go through another cycle.
But by 2030, the Earth will be 2.5 degrees warmer. We're all going to be dead. Was that the next question? Because that should be
because of Bitcoin. We're going to be boiling the oceans.
It's a boiling world.
It'll be a $7 to $10 billion industry by 2030. So you're going to go through another cycle. You went through that first cycle, right? Real enthusiasm and excitement. Now you've got to pull back because people had they'd acquired all these assets. They have to figure out how to run them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
His thing is like Dawn Ostroff was she couldn't handle it.
Yeah, she did. Yeah,
you know, it's Spotify. She didn't know what she was doing.
So no,
you have to be able to know how to run it.
Yeah,
and the reason they are good at this.
Yes.
So in clip three, he explains their methodology.
Hey, Rob, I wanted to ask you, and we're showing some of the competitors up there on the screen or other names that are in this space. How do you get that edge when it is more and more crowded? When you talk about the fact that the industry certainly seems like it's going under a bit of a transformation process when we talk about moving away from the massive spending that we've seen over the last several years, how do you find that niche?
Well, I think it's twofold, right? We're very, very selective. You probably, for any of you listened to my interviews previously, I talk about my team runs the company like Moneyball. So if you ever saw the movie Moneyball, we really run it almost like a hedge fund, right?
Oh,
we
really?
Are very careful and very selective.
The hedge fund's known for their careful selectivity.
And we try to find that niche between sort of 50,000 and a half a million downloads, right? And we'll grow that now. Right now will be the first time we'll have an opportunity to get podcasts, and you're starting to see that come over on a regular basis who are doing a million. But we fill that niche where the creator really needs the full support. And I think what's happened is, you know, the larger places, right, for them to manage those smaller creators is really difficult. And
well, he's starting to explain the problem with a podcast network. As you know, I've always said you can't monetize the network. And it's exactly that, is when you have a network, then he says, manage those smaller creatives. Yeah, those are the ones who are the squeakiest wheels. I didn't get any promotion. Yeah. Why is he on the homepage? How come I didn't get in on that advertising buy? That's what starts to spin out of control. Every company in the beginning, in the pod show days, there were a couple other ones, Revision 3, there were some other ones. They all had podcaster relations department. Then these people burned out like every 9 months because they were trying to keep, they were trying to keep the podcasters happy, and it's not possible. And we set up our podcasters with their own LLC. We did all the initial setup and management for them of the LLC and made sure they had accountants and they ran it as their own business. You know, it is not an easy task to do. We only had, I don't know, 20 tops. And they have to all be hits. Otherwise you're spinning your wheels on all the people who don't really bring in revenue.
So if you read Ashley Carman's article, is either from today or yesterday out of Bloomberg, where she goes over, this guy Rosenbaum, who was it was the talent agent behind, Call Her Daddy and a bunch of these like big lucrative podcast deals.
Mm-hmm.
Her article explains that is exactly what is happening right now with that group. They are, there's now loud complaining and people are leaving because they say that agent only focuses on his top guys and not on them.
And
it's exactly what happened.
Now, in addition to that, what I think the problem is, with that's certainly cast, what I've come to learn from, you know, like Cast Media, and I have questions about what they did with that, is that people join the network, we're going to give you a minimum guarantee, and
such a bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, that's a horrible idea. A minimum guarantee, that's where you go broke. And then, you know, so there's this, I was listening to Pod News Weekly, and they were talking about the magical $4 million that went away. Well, when Podcast One acquired the distressed asset known as Cast Media, did they make anyone whole, Or was that the, you know, the, oh, we'll give you some stock, which now subsequently when, you know, went down by 400%.
That's the scoop and score. Yeah. They're trying to scoop these, like catch them right before they hit the dirt so that they wouldn't want to, so that they could not have to pay a minimum guarantee because the distress would make these create. I'm not saying this is nefarious. This is
No.
I'm not accusing anybody.
It's just no one listened to me. Yeah. That's what this is. No one listened to me.
But she asked him another question, like, you know, okay, what's, yeah, there's a lot of question marks still. What's the next big thing?
Podcast Network podcast four. One going public today on the NASDAQ, a spin out from its parent company.
That's clip four. Is it? Oh, yeah. I screwed it up. Okay, so she asks him, okay, what is the next big thing?
It seems like you got the whole interview there for some reason. Hold on, let me see.
In podcasting, I feel like I don't have enough hours in the day. But
is it there?
Yep.
Okay, I made it a little before.
Great content. There's not enough hours in the day to cover it.
That, you want me to go back a little bit more?
You had it. You nailed it the first
time. Oh, I did? Okay, all right. Okay, yeah. Hold on. Here we go. That's coincidental.
Yeah, Rob, I'm going to attest to that. I have so many favorites in podcasting. I feel like I don't have enough hours in the day. But, you know, you mentioned we're still in the early innings. There's another wave coming. What do you think is going to drive that?
Dave, batten down the hatches. There's another wave coming.
Is it about the Joe Rogan style podcast? Is it about storytelling? Is it the fictional scripted content?
Let me guess. True crime.
What do you think is going to be the big catalyst to move this even further?
What? Stop. Okay, so predictions. Dovidosh, you get to predict too. What is the next
wave? The next wave. The next big thing.
The next inning.
I feel true crime doesn't make sense because it's already so big right now. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to try to get even more stars on these podcasts that no one listens to.
That's a big way.
Give this man a prize.
Yeah, so such a great question. I mean, you know, we're a very powerful community and network in driving our podcasts across each other's podcasts, using that community to grow. I think it's going to be a little bit everything, right? You know, Laura Martin over at Needham always described our company from all the great things we did in music, and we're just starting to hit this in podcasting, right? I've only owned the company for 3 years, right? That 3 years, we took it from about $20 million in revenues, losing a lot of money, to where now it's going to do over $50 million and be very, very EBITDA positive, right?
Very, very, very EBITDA positive. Positive. Yeah. That's estimate. It's earnings before income tax, depreciation, and amortization. That's before all your costs.
And the reason for that is we've got the team in place. We've got the management. We're starting to hit that critical mass, and you really don't need any additional infrastructure. You really have no additional costs. And what I see happening is multiple revenue streams. YouTube has changed the dynamics completely. You now have video. So you don't have just audio, you have video coming in. You're going to have, and you probably...
Hey, how come Rob Greenlee isn't working at this place yet? Didn't he already work there at once?
He already has.
He already has. Okay.
He did for a week and he left.
Changed the dynamics completely. You now have video. So you don't have just audio, you have video coming in. Next you're going to have, and you probably know, you know, my background in owning Atmosphere Films and having the movie 300 and did, you know, billions in revenues and Spiderwick Chronicles and Patrick Waxberger, who sits on my board and just went...
Whoa. What did this guy do?
He's evidently... It was
billions in revenue.
Company.
He did a movie company. What, his background is impressive. Is Spider-Man something and
Spiderwick Chronicles and the movie 300 is the
300
he listed.
Oh, okay. My background in owning Atmosphere Films and having the movie 300 and did, you know, billions in revenues and Spiderwick Chronicles and Patrick Waxberger, who sits on my board and just winning Academy Award. We have a passion around turning these podcasts into television and film.
Oh, okay. Now that's IP. That's the strategy. That's right, everybody. You'll make no money, but if you're lucky, we'll turn you into a television show where you have more chances of losing out.
And if you could hit that second window, you could have one or two, you know, one or two pieces of IP that you control and own could turn out bigger than the entire network and revenues and bottom line. And then products. Just look at what Logan Paul is doing with Prime. It's truly amazing. He uses his podcast very much like my brother did in Entourage when he used Avion.
Whoa, his brother? Was his brother in Entourage?
Evidently.
Oh, okay.
Look at what Logan Paul is doing with Prime. It's truly amazing. He uses his podcast very much like my brother did in Entourage when he used Avion, right? There really wasn't, you weren't marketing or presenting it. You were just, it was integrated into the content. And if we can keep doing that, you're going to see more and more products launched from our company. I love the live side of the business, right? Watching Adam Carolla.
You can cut it there. So the next big thing is YouTube.
Yeah,
IP and native advertising.
Yeah, pretty much
the same thing as the old thing. It didn't work before, but it'll work now. By the way, the stock has gone up to $2.12 since we've been talking.
Oh, so man,
clearly
I should have gone long. What am I thinking? Yeah, now, do we play five here, or was five a part of that?
No, that was five. Yeah, no, we're good.
Well, this is interesting because the clips that I brought today, and Dovidas, you okay, man? I mean, you okay to hang out with us because we're just chatting a little bit here.
Of course, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Fine. Because this is going to be only beneficial for you. Because what is happening is, and they didn't, I'm surprised that Yahoo Finance did not really ask about advertising revenue. I mean, I presume that they, you know, when he talks about downloads, that there's going to be advertising revenue. Isn't that kind of how they're going to make their money?
Question mark,
yeah. Because I have bad news for everybody, and I don't like being this messenger, but it only took me about 4 days to figure out what this Russell Brand thing was really about.
And I was going to ask you about that. Yeah, what is that about?
Well, so, you know, Russell Brand, a very successful YouTuber, also has a deal with Rumble. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a, you know, like a brand, like, hey, I'm Russell Brand, I'm on Rumble. So they're paying him to be on Rumble, not necessarily because he brings in advertisers or whatever. He has, you know, 1.5 million people, subscribers, a number of 1.4 million on his Rumble thing, which is a YouTube lookalike. There's many, many of them. All of a sudden, Channel 4, which is the channel that made him the star that he is in the UK, I mean, he was a mainstream M5M Channel 4 guy, movies, Hollywood, the whole thing. They decided with a newspaper to do an expose on him, and they had been working on this for more than a year, and they have four women who say that he raped them. And before this even came out, and that was, by the way, they stopped regular programming to air this. It wasn't scheduled like, oh, it's going to be the Russell Brand expose in a week or in 2 weeks. No, it's like, oh, we're preempting all programming. We have to show this right away. Immediate. And so he comes out the day before and says, they're going to do something about me, which says that I've done some horrible things. I deny these allegations. This is not true. All of my relationships have been consensual, and I've been very open about my promiscuity, etc. And by the way, they could have done this expose on him at any time. They probably should have done it when he was a Channel 4, because that's when it was all going down. And, you know, there's questionable. The allegations are definitely not good, but there's no criminal investigation or no criminal charge that I'm aware of. But he's basically been convicted just by the media. So what, let's see if I can do this in the right order. So what you'd expect is an entire Me Too conversation to happen. You know, it's like everyone should be talking about, no is no. And, believe all, even if, please just say believe all women. That's what it used to be. But that was not the conversation anywhere, including our very own Pod News Weekly Review.
I'm sure that Adam will probably cover it on the Friday show. He has had, he's been cancelled basically off many platforms. And unless I'm wrong, the law used to be innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah, well, Sam, of course, is correct. That is not even in play here. No one's really even talking about that. It's only about canceling Russell Brand, and a very specific kind of cancelling.
As opposed to guilty on social media and then deplatformed.
Yes, I think, I mean, he's been, he hasn't necessarily been deplatformed, but what's gone on is YouTube Music. So in case you don't know, he's been, he's a comedian in inverted commas in the UK, and he's been accused of a number of quite serious sexual allegations. My understanding is that YouTube has demonetized him, although Todd and Rob were very, or at least Rob was very keen in suggesting that he may have been demonetized because the advertisers didn't want to be advertising next to his content.
This is what is happening. Demonetization, but it's not even the platforms. No, we're going after advertisers. Because once you go after the advertisers, that's it. The platforms buckle and fold immediately. Because we can't have a reputation, and YouTube, of course, you know, Google right away did that. But it seems like people are going after advertisers everywhere.
So it might not have been.
And by the way, if Rob says that, I'm going to take that as true. If he heard that, I think he's close enough to YouTube to know that that's probably what happened. Yeah. Advertiser said, "Yeah, we you know, we don't care if you have that guy on, but we don't want our ads anywhere near him."
So it might not have been YouTube actually making that decision. It might have been the advertisers who basically said, "No, he's no longer brand safe."
And James says it correctly. It's not the platform. The advertisers call the shots. The advertisers call the shots. They control, not the platform, the advertisers. Remember that.
But in any case, he's been demonetized from his YouTube channel, where he had 6 point something million people. So that's quite a thing. I know that the BBC have been sniffing around BBC News, which is journalistically independent from the rest of the BBC. I know that they've been sniffing around the podcast companies, wondering whether the podcast platforms are taking down Russell Brand content. So I have been helping them with their inquiries.
Oh, how nice. All right, James. Okay, so yeah, this just inquires. I understand. I'm sure you're very helpful to the independent BBC News. So they are not only looking at YouTube and video platforms, but they are sniffing around. The BBC is sniffing around to see. Make sure that no podcasting companies are, you know, they better be taking Russell Brand off of their networks. They've been wanting to do this for so long. And how do you think they're doing that? Well, they're going to be doing that by going after their advertisers. But there was something else interesting that James said.
I mean, I have to say, I was listening to the news agents a couple of days ago, and they started with a clip of Russell Brand talking to Jimmy Savile.
That's actually the
That's a mental association being made.
Well, that's
between
actually
him and like one of the worst sexual criminals in British history.
And that's the second episode of the News Agents where they started with and talked about Russell Brand. I've listened to the News Agents. I like it. I think it's good. It's a bunch of very famous British journalists, and it's kind of a newsroom type idea. They sit around and chat about the news the way you would in the newsroom. And they are really famous. They've interviewed all the big people in the world. So the first episode where they talked about Russell Brand, you would think that some journalists would be talking about, wow, these allegations, are there any charges being made? I mean, is this going to a legal case? Is it going to be tried in Los Angeles where it took place? Will it be tried in the UK? Well, what do you think? No, isn't it funny? They didn't talk about that at all.
I mean, when you've got a situation when, you know, Russell Brand, I mean, just to take some of his digital followings, he's got 4 million on Instagram, 2.2 million on TikTok, 6.5 million on YouTube. And, you know, when you look at some of the things that some of his followers have been saying over the, you know, weekend in response to him, and, you know, the internet isn't necessarily real life, but it's always, to some extent, a reflection of a bit of real life.
And it is also financial real life.
financially lucrative in real life.
Oh, it's financially lucrative. Oh, we can't have that.
You know, some of the things, we're with you, Russell. I've been wondering how long it would be until they tried to pull this card with a little crying emoji. I'm with you all the way, Russell. They did it to Assange. They tried it with Bernie Sanders. They did it to Corbyn. They'll try and find anyone they find a threat. And as we were talking about yesterday, this is where there is the intersection between media and this new media ecosystem and politics.
Yeah, there it is. This is really about the new media ecosystem and politics. This is not about Russell Brand raping anybody. That's not what this is about. This is about the elite messaging system. They don't like it. They don't. And in fact, isn't on the same day, in fact, that they passed the Online Safety Act in the UK, which is just funny by itself, which will be make it much easier for law enforcement to take content down. We have Dame Caroline Denange. She's a member of parliament. She's the chair of the Culture, Media and Sport Committee, writing a memo to the CEO of Rumble. And listen to what she says. I am writing concerning the serious allegations regarding Russell Brand in the context of his being a content provider on Rumble with more than 1.4 million followers. You see the irritation here. The Culture, Media, and Sport Committee is raising questions with the broadcasters and production companies who previously employed Mr. Brand to examine both the culture of the industry in the past and whether that culture still prevails today. And here it comes. However, we are also looking at his use of social media, including on Rumble, where he issued his preemptive response to the accusations made against him by the Sunday Times and Channel 4's dispatches. While we recognize that Rumble is not the creator of the content published by Mr. Brand, we are concerned that he may be able to profit from his content on the platform. We would be grateful if you could confirm whether Mr. Brand is able to monetize his content, including his videos relating to the serious accusations against him. If so, we would like to know whether Rumble intends to join YouTube in suspending Mr. Brand's ability to earn money on the platform.
What an odd letter.
Now, to his credit, the CEO of Rumble said, we're not going to do any such thing. Whatever he does outside of the content on Rumble is what he does. Let's go back to the news agents.
I think there are places that are, if you like, the safety net, more than that, the new ecosystem to this whole idea of cancellation. So
they're talking about the new ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And this is a big problem for them, and they want to demonetize anybody using the new ecosystem. As we just heard from James, the BBC journalists are now going to podcast companies, sniffing around, make sure that no one's that he's not able to make any money. And the last thing you want is the BBC to say, well, you know, this company over here who has advertisers, they are letting Russell Brand make money. Don't you know he's a rapist? That now we're into a whole different ball game. This is not about any accusations. It's not even about him being guilty by public opinion. This is about control of the ecosystem that they don't like.
I was told yesterday that actually one of the platforms in which Russell Brand is heavily monetizing is Rumble. And it was a site that I wasn't that familiar with.
Never heard of it. I'm on the internet all the time. Yeah. I never have seen a Rumble.
It kind of tends to serve the alt-right. It tends to serve the characters like Alex Jones and Steve Bannon and the sort of InfoWars kind of people. And I was told that Russell Brand is actually getting millions from work he does there, whether it's monetized or whether they're actually just paying for him.
There is no concern for rape victims in this woman's mind. There's no concern for misogynistic anything. No. I'm concerned.
It's all about money.
I'm concerned that this guy with the Alex Joneses of the world and the Steve Bannons of the world, that they're able to make money. This will not stand.
Because they find people who have exactly been shut out, if you like, of the mainstream media, or shut out of the BBC or Channel 4 or places that no longer want to work with him, and say, oh, right, let us be your home. And we will provide the following for people who don't really want to be part of that mainstream media landscape anyway.
So now we're going to wrap this up with these guys, because they're just flabbergasted by this. They had no idea there's a whole alternative ecosystem, which according to the BBC includes podcasts, and this will not stand.
And so actually half this stuff is going on that a lot of people won't see. They won't recognize.
Totally forgotten about him.
Right.
To be honest, had you?
I
went on Rumble last night, and it was really interesting because...
Whoa, boy, what did you discover, lady?
I didn't know that he'd done the first interview with Tucker Carlson, fired Fox News...
Oh, no, not the fired Fox News Tucker Carlson.
...presenter. He's interviewed Ron DeSantis.
Oh, no, a Republican.
I would never have known.
You would never know that Russell Brand was so tied in to what we think of as the sort of, I don't know, the MAGA voice or the alt-right American voice.
Alt-right. Ron DeSantis is not alt-right.
Ron DeSantis is not alt-right.
He's a mainstream Republican. But okay, I understand. It's your bias.
And this suggests that, you know, we will happily admit we are probably missing parts of these conversations where Russell Brand is flourishing and will continue to flourish whether or not the BBC removes an episode of QI.
Exactly. And that's what is, I think that's what's just so fascinating about this, which is that, yeah, I mean, I was trying to wrap my brains this morning. I had some vague sense, I think, that he had gone down this kind of anti-vax kind of route and had become kind of more eccentric.
Eccentric, anti-vax. Oh, I see. Ron DeSantis, anti-vax. These are some of the most respected journalists in the UK, where they probably still do some journalism.
More kooky.
Kooky.
But I had no idea, really, that he was. And this is someone I like to think, right, that pretty plugged into the media, pretty close observer of the media, but not that type of media. And this is the kind of challenge to us, in a way, right, is that we can all make ourselves feel better by...
Yeah, it's a challenge. There we have it.
You know, thinking, oh, right, he's being dropped by this, that, and the other. And maybe it's not applicable to loads of people, but for someone like Brand, it doesn't matter.
Okay, now... So just let me, to wrap this up, I'm going to use another example, and I'm so happy that James had told us that the BBC was sniffing around podcast companies, because this is what journalism has become. Journalism has not become like, let me talk to Russell Brand and let me see what's going on. What does he say about these allegations? No. The BBC, independent journalism. Yes, I would say BBC is world-renowned for their independent journalism. They are sniffing around podcasting companies, trying to get stories whether he's still monetizing on any of these platforms. And this is exactly what the Washington Post did, another bastion of reporting. I would say the New York Times and the Washington Post are two of the most respected newspapers by the mainstream messaging system. They... so hate Dave Portnoy from Barstool Sports, think of him what you may, that he has an event called Pizza Fest, and he's actually been supporting pizzerias during the whole lockdown, and he raised millions of dollars for small businesses. So instead of talking to Dave Portnoy and saying, we hate you, you misogynist, they went behind his back to his sponsors.
This is Emily.
Hey, Emily, this is Dave Portnoy calling. I'm recording you right now, but I've noticed a bunch of people. It seems like you're sending, we have this Pizza Fest happening on Saturday, and you're reaching out to our advertisers, and you're basically sending an email that says, to the effect, Dave's a misogynic racist. Do you want to defend yourselves advertising at this event, right?
I'm sorry, what's your name, Dave? I'm sorry, who are you?
I'm the guy you're writing the article about, Dave Portnoy.
Oh, you're Dave Portnoy. Oh, hey, how are you?
Hey.
Good. No, I'm not. I haven't said anything like that.
I can read if you want. If you want, I can read what you actually sent. I have it.
Yeah, read, because I sent a bunch of notes, so I want to make sure I know which one.
Okay. We are planning to write about the festival and how some of the sponsors and participants have drawn criticism by seemingly to associate themselves with Dave Portnoy, who has a history of misogynic comments and other problematic behavior. I want to make sure that Blank had a chance to respond to this, since the company is the most prominent of their partners of his festival.
Oh, that's the one I sent to, which was definitely the most pointed of them, because I really did want them to respond, and I was hoping to get something from them.
Do you think that's fair? Like, I totally disagree with the assertions of what you said, that misogynic and all that stuff. So, like, it kind of backs people into a corner. So I'm happy to go over anything. I mean, you have... That is pretty pointed. You said you didn't do it. Then I have the exact evidence of you doing it. So
I didn't say I didn't do that. I said I did. That was the one that was the most pointed.
Well, no, you that one.
So I think my point is made here. They're going after advertisers. So they can't go after the platforms directly. They're not even asking YouTube to deplatform, like to take him off. That just creates too much strife. No, just no money for you. And if the platforms won't do it directly, they will go to your advertisers, and that will end all these. Rumble is spending $40 million a month and bringing in 20. They're a public company. Their numbers are public. They're never going to make it. And advertisers don't want this. They don't want, you know, people say, well, won't there be advertisers who think the same? No, advertisers want to sell to everybody, not just to one kind of person. This is the end of advertising based alternative, open, free ecosystems, platforms. They do not work. They will not work. This is why we are here. The Lord, I'm going to go biblical on you. The Lord brought us together, Dave Jones, to build not just the index, but the value for value system as well, with God's money. Now, backslash on the Bible stuff.
Yeah, God's money. This is the what was that term? The phrase, I'm trying to remember. It's the process is the punishment. This is the process is the punishment, because you get just the accusation of a thing. Now, I know nothing about Russell Brand. He may be completely guilty, but that's not the point. The point is that the mere process of going through it is the punishment.
Yeah.
Because the focus is not on the guilt or innocence. The focus is on the monetization. It's like the whole thing is, we have to hurry up and demonetize you immediately, and then ... plan, you know, step two. And we don't care what step two is.
And this is why people still say we're just in the early days of podcasting, the early wave, the second inning. No. Advertisers want complete control. They have complete control at YouTube. One of the most powerful companies on earth runs YouTube. Yet the advertisers have complete control over what they show. We know this now from our reasonably informed inside sources. So they don't want some people talking on a podcast. That's no control, unless we know exactly what they say. So enter what has happened now. I'm just going to break it all down. What has happened now is we have AI making or using transcripts, making sure your brand's safe. We have rating agencies. We have GARM. We have all these different systems to make sure that the most bland, vanilla, bull crap stuff. Oh, you know what? Forget about that. Acast, who supposedly is still they're doing it all. Acast is doing it. They've got Amy Poehler, and they're baking in, what was that? Like some detergent into a scripted show. Yeah, that will work. That's not alternative, open, free media. That's an ecosystem that survives and thrives outside of the mainstream messaging system.
No,
it's not that it won't work. They want control. You either are all in and have full control, or you don't. And just to break it down a little bit further, God bless Dovidas. God bless Todd. God bless Tom and Ross. God bless these guys. We have a distributed RSS-based ecosystem. And you can easily bop around. You can even set up your own little RSS feed. You know, I could have 20 people. You know, remember they tried to take down WikiLeaks, and they blocked the domain name, and then everybody started registering WikiLeaks domain names. They never were able to really fully take down WikiLeaks ever. They just gave up on it at a certain point, and then they just threw him in jail. You know, we'll just throw him in jail. That's a better way. Yeah, that's a better way to do it. So anyone who thinks that there is an industry that will survive this is wrong. You can become a part of the the news agents industry. You can become a part of that, global and all that. Yeah, you can be a part of that. Very few people will have success. And that's what you're seeing. I don't even think Podcast One can monetize Adam Carolla. He's too polarizing. Even he's pretty bland. But he's not on board with the current messaging. So it will not work. The system we have devised, and I say we, not you and I, but everybody in this boardroom, is the only way forward. I'm open to suggestions, but we need to build out what we're doing.
Direct support. That's the only way that it goes. That's the only way that it happens. I don't think any of these companies are making money. I mean, Podcast One clearly is not. Acast is clearly not. Spotify is not. I mean, everybody that's trying these strategies, they're not profitable.
And it's
It would be different. It would be different if we had this sort of litany of companies that have proven time and time and time again that this is a viable business model. But I don't think we even have one, do we?
I know of none.
Has anybody ever successfully, do we know this for a fact? Now, I'm asking, do we know this for a fact? I'm not asking whether or not that was a quote-unquote great company or anything like that. I'm talking about, do we know in black and white, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that a single company that has tried the podcast network roll-up strategy has been profitable?
No.
I don't think we do.
No.
I don't think we have one example of that working.
Because everyone kept saying, we'll do it with ads, we'll do it with ads, we'll do it with ads, we'll do it with IP, we'll do it with, and it's just not there. But right. The beauty is, Todd's customers received $10,000 in value for value payments.
See, that's
beautiful.
Where, see, Dovidas, that would be where. So, do you put yourself in the split at all for RSS Blue?
I don't know.
Okay.
So that's something I might do in the future. Again, you have to really communicate this right, as I've said before, because I don't want to create an impression that I'm essentially charging my clients twice. Mm-hmm. But if you really communicate the V4V model right, yeah, I think that's a totally plausible scenario. Because
I would love to have, I would love to for you to be able to say, hey, this is how much money we made for our, for our podcasters, and for Tom and Kevin to say, this is how much we made for our podcasters, and Ben and Alberto to say, this is how much we made. So I would love to have sort of those stats across the board. I thought it was really open of Todd to put that out there.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
Yeah. Because so much of podcasting, and I think, we've been decrying this for a long time, that podcasting is very secretive. Yeah. Nobody wants anybody to know their download numbers. Nobody wants anybody to know their metrics and all these kinds of things. And honestly, I think some of it is legitimate. Like, Todd gives that example of somebody who was still working a day job and doing a podcast and didn't want to be, it to be known publicly that they were making, a lot of money. But I think in a lot of circumstances with the network stuff and with these download numbers, I think people don't want other people to know because they see that it's not there.
It's not there. Exactly. It's just not there.
Yeah.
And the
podcasting 2.0, I'll bring OP3 into that as well. When everything is open, there's no question marks. You just know it's working or it's not. And it just is. It's either reality or it's not. You're living in the truth instead of living in a bunch of, shadows.
And it's going to take a while for value music to get our footing and know exactly where we're at. And we're already running much faster than I ever expected. But this this is going to break everything. It already is. The beauty of it is, just like these Jamokes, you know, they have no idea Russell Brand is making millions. He may be making hundreds of thousands. I have no idea what he's making. And clearly, he's making something. The idea being that you don't need to be number one on Channel 4. You don't need to be number one on the BBC. You need to basically be able to survive, be able to pay your rent. This is what I've said for 16, it'll be 16 years in October. I just want to be able to pay my bills and do the show. That's it. And the people have heard that message and they get enough value from, this is no agenda in particular, but this project, same thing. Just if it's valuable enough to people, the podcast and the project, they will support it. And they have. And we take no money out of it. But we also don't need it. You know, sometimes a project is like that. Sometimes a project is good for just for the feeling of legacy, like we're doing it. Sometimes it's good for your club or for your church or for your, you know, your product or for your company. It's recreating the mainstream system in podcasting. It does not compute. It has to be scripted. That's why true crime works with ads. You can do an upfront and here's what you're buying. Right. You know what's going to be this.
Dovidas, do you have a, I was thinking, Adam was talking about no agenda just then. Do you have a plan? This is an odd question to ask, but do you have a plan for if a show comes to RSS Blue and blows up and has millions of downloads? Is that scare you at all?
I mean, so far, one of the shows we host is actually quite big. So there haven't been any problems yet. Okay. So the infrastructure I use right now is really nice in terms of pricing, in terms of bandwidth. So that hasn't really been a problem at all. I guess it's the storage part that might be more difficult in the long term, especially if I am going to support video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that do you plan to support video? Is that on your roadmap?
It's something I would like to try. I feel many people that are coming to podcasting right now would like to experiment with video. Mm-hmm. The podcasters that have been doing this for years seem to be less interested. And I feel this could be a good opportunity to bring in new people.
Mm-hmm. This is that age old conundrum with podcast hosting is if a show becomes too successful, then you begin to lose money on bandwidth. But I guess it sounds like you've set everything up very carefully from the beginning so that
It should be all right. I mean, Some companies, you know, they charge depending on how many downloads there are. But I really didn't want to do that because we know how unreliable this is. Mm-hmm. I don't want to essentially charge people for fake downloads or for auto downloads that no one listens to. Right. So essentially, I just have a system where it's essentially a flat fee per month. And if you upload more episodes, there is a more favorable fee. And then we also have essentially reduced pricing for short episodes, which includes songs. So for example, if a podcaster comes to RSS Blue, they can essentially, instead of uploading 3 regular episodes, they can upload 9 songs, which are, for example, less than 5 minutes long. And they will be charged an amount.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a great idea because, I mean, music is really not big.
Have you looked at the IPFS podcasting stuff, Dovidas?
I have. Honestly, I don't yet see what part hosting companies have to play here. I know RSS.com is experimenting with that,
mm-hmm.
but I feel at the moment I need to focus on features that I want to implement right now, some of which include things like music shows and value time splits.
Right on. Can we take a little break here and play a song for a moment? Just to, I need a drink of water.
Did Dovidas choose the song?
I did not ask him. Do you have a song that you'd like to play, Dovidas? Do you have a value for value music song that you can think of offhand?
I think you choose because I don't have anything.
I should. I'm sorry. I should have asked. I should have asked guest choice. We do always get the wallet for the split. This is one that I played on Booster Grand Ball. I like it a lot. It's from Mandelbro and it's called Eyes.
Staying up all night, she woke you from your slumber. Hastily, she comes to wrap you round her finger. A whole new world, you're living in a whole new world. Everything's green, built by machines, a lot to take away. Discover nature, gazing at stars by the side of a motorway. The city life. This is the life you want. You want. Boost. You've got your eyes on her, and you can't turn away. No, you can't turn away. You've got your eyes on her, and you can't turn away. No, you can't turn away. Now is the time when all of this just feels so simple. Have a drink, fall in love, and meet new people. A cog in the wheel, but such a beautiful wheel. Violent crime, nothing's on time. Most creative people, concrete culture, brick and mortar, everyone is equal. The city lights, this is the life you want. You want. You've got your eyes on her, and you can't turn away. No, you can't turn away. You've got your eyes on her, you can't turn away. No, you can't turn away.
There's something really powerful about playing a song and then hitting a button and seeing like a Rube Goldberg machine, seeing it pop up in the chat room with a link to the song.
Yeah, and I noticed that too.
That's real. And of course, this is, let me see. It is currently number 5 on the podcast index .top 100, which I'd like to talk about briefly. I think, Dave Jones, you have created a beautiful, beautiful thing here. And I'd like to explain why, because this is so perfect. I think it was it Sam or someone made a comment. I think it was on Twitter. Like, well, I don't like this chart. You know, I want the chart to be, you know, kind of, I want to see the chart. And then next week I want it to be, you know, someone moves up or someone moves down. And And the reason why
James was saying he had a problem with it being hourly. He didn't like that.
Right.
That's what it was.
Well, here, this is why I love this chart. This chart is not to be to get a gold star. I've been number one for weeks. No, this is a discovery tool. This tells me on an hourly basis that something's happening. You know, especially if you roll down past the top five, even there's stuff going on that, well, someone's playing stuff. Stuff is being played out there. You know, there are songs that I would not be exposed to, which is why I desperately want to be able to click in and see what podcast played them. And see the boost. I know. And see the boostograms. This is a discovery tool. The days of being number one or being the biggest or being the top, they're over. They're over. No one, it's not what matters anymore. It's like, do you know who the number one person is on OnlyFans? No. No, because
it's, I don't, do you?
No, but this because there's tens of thousands of people who are very successful there and have their own little audience doing their own thing. And they don't. You don't need to be number one. You need to be number one with your own community. Okay, OnlyFans. It's a weird example, but people have heard the success stories, and everyone can do the math.
Let's use a different way. Like, it's like being the number one on YouTube. Like, there's no number one.
Right. What is number one on YouTube?
Yeah, exactly. Mr. Beast. I can't stand that guy. I'm never going to watch a video. So it's irrelevant to me.
In fact, I'm going to start saying to people, value for value. It's like, oh, it's OnlyFans for podcasts. Value for value music. It's OnlyFans for music. People understand it. People get it. Let's see. Oh, okay. So if you have 1,000 people and you can get them to pay you $1,000, you're a millionaire. Yes. Correct.
Dovey Doss, don't say RSS Blue is the only fans of podcast.
Don't worry, we'll say it for you.
I won't. No. And also disagree. No. I think they have something that goes against V4V, which is, you know, premium content. So I don't think that's V4V at all.
I don't see OnlyFans as premium content.
Oh, I don't know. I just guessed. I assume that the way they do this is they charge some amount and then you can access the content.
No, the way it works. Well, yes, you may have to pay something, but you kind of pay what you want. That's the idea.
Mm.
That's the idea is you can, and it's interact. You're right. It's a bad example. It's not a good way to do it. But if someone says, here's 1,000,000 Satoshis, mention my name. Okay. You know,
Sir Spencer says OnlyFans, you need to subscribe to get into. So is okay. Sir Spencer is the resident
expert. OnlyFans expert. Yes. So he's reliably informed. So that's a bad example. But the idea is you have your own community. You know, I was talking with Dvorak about this. No one knows outside of No Agenda. No one knows No Agenda. People don't walk around like, Adam Curry, No Agenda, a big podcast. No, Adam Curry, MTV, Rogan. Oh yeah. Don't you have a podcast? Yeah. Now we have 900,000, 1,000,000 people who listen on a monthly basis. That's enough. Mm-hmm. If they all gave us a dollar, that would be fantastic. It doesn't work that way, but but they do other things. They value for value, time, talent, treasure, do all kinds of cool stuff for us that would otherwise have cost a lot of money to have people do it. You know, to hire people to do stuff.
Speaking of supporting us, do you want to thank some people?
Yes, let me thank a few people who have pre-boosted and boosted during the show. Boobery, 33,333. Wait a minute, Dreb Scott just came in with 30,000, boosting Eyes by Mandelbro, and I'm going to think, yes, he did it on CurioCaster. Actually, did I stop the... hold on, let me just check. Did I take us back to our block? I don't know where am I. It's a little, we're back to our block. Okay. Where am I? Sorry, I have too many windows open. Boobery. Damn, these based boosts always run out of space. Without further ado, I present the 101st self-hosted feed to LM Beach, the 33rd music feed we've uploaded. And he has a URL there, which I guess I'll have to take a look at his URL and see what that says. Sir Seat Sitter. Yeah, Sir Seat Sitter. Sir Seat Sitter. Okay, perfect. And 33,333. He's in advertising mode from Boobery. We are now offering a service for artists. If you have songs but no website, we'll host it for you. 97% go to the big guy. 3% split between music side project Boostbot and the BTS node, so we can read Boost out live on the air. Shoot us an email, thunderroad@proton.me. Without further ado, he presents the 101st feed. Okay, beautiful. Let me see. During the program, we had Striper Boost, 7,777 from Jeffro NC. And he says, love the song. My first Boost attempt through Podverse. Thank you, Dave and Adam, for the weekly diversion of podcasting 2.0 banter while I finish my work week. Jeffro in North Carolina. We have Chunta, 33,333, no note. Mr. Robot, 1,669, Boardroom with V for V Music, Love is Lit, Eyes, see Brooklyn 112 with 200 sats, Eric PP with 33,333 coming in from the Boost CLI. Eastside Tony for a second there, I thought I was listening to No Agenda. Go podcasting and defend the network. And 31,948 or 31948, an Israeli freedom boost from Sir Brian of London, who is boosting from Rosarito, Mexico on Saturday. Yeah. He says, I'm making Music 2.0 the subject of my talk at Hive Fest to excite and recruit Hive devs to join us making tools and cool stuff. And as we know, Hive integrates with Value for Value through the V4V.app. And of course, 123,456 Satoshis from the Bruce Wayne of podcasting, Drev Scott, with a whole bunch of drum and guitar emojis and just a whole bunch of emojis. So it's 123,000. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Thank you, Drev. Thank you so much.
Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
And that's it. That's what I have in the boost during the show. I'm sure we have some other ones to discuss.
I've got I've got $500 from Marco Arman to discuss.
Holy moly, hello!
Shakala, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Marco, let us help you with your live shows, man. Let us help you. Yeah. I see you signaling 18 minutes before live. That should already be signaling in the app.
Automate it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to automate it. Just as a proof of concept.
Cool. Thank you, Marco. Thank you so much.
Did you get the Drep Scott 123456 that says boost, 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 go podcasting?
No.
Well, that's another one. That came in at 254.
Baller, oh,
my goodness.
Shakala, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
I did not get that one. Boost, 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 go podcasting. No, of course not. No, Dreb's an animal.
Thank you, Dreb. I think he has his kids up at night. Sending boost for him so that he can sleep. That's probably what happened.
Very possible.
John's BRT 33333 through Fountain. He says, can't wait for V4V audiobooks. Same, John.
Yeah, definitely.
We're going to make it happen, brother. He also boosted a piece of music, which I cannot tell. That's the music the track we played last week with a bunch of rock hand emojis. Mere Mortals podcast, Kyron, our buddy, 2222 through Fountain. He says, Rick Beto is that YouTube musician's name. Another great combo he had was with Ted Goya called A Warning on the Future of Music. Yep. I think we played clips.
Yeah, we did play a clip. Yes, we did. We did.
He understands the problem deeply, just doesn't know about the solution yet. Wink. Mitch D. I hope that's Mitch Downey because I'm going to start calling him Mitch D.
MD. We'll just call him MD from now on. MD. MD. Yeah, MD.
MD. He's boosted a song through Podverse. He says, did the feed ID TLV come through? Yes, it did. Thank you, Mitch. Appreciate it, buddy.
Good, good. Everyone's working on their feed TLVs. Yeah, nice.
Yep, he's got another, let's see, another two here testing TLVs. Yep, all looking good, Mitch. Thanks, brother. Gene Everett, Satchel Richards, 1111 through Fountain, no note. Thank you, Gene. Sir Brian of London, 1948. He says, a little heavy indeed. He's boosting the track.
Ah.
So you got two of those. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate that. Shredward. Yeah, Shredward sent us 1,000 sats through Podcast Guru. Well said, Adam. There's no middleman in getting paid on V4V. Music Industrial Complex payouts are a joke. There's no reason why we need ASCAP or BMI or anything like that in today's digital age.
All I agree, Sherman. Yeah, all you need is splits. Splits is all you need.
All you need is splits.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to get sued for that.
Oh. We're going to take it off of YouTube. Cameron, 2222, row of ducks through podcast index. Oh, through the website.
Be nice.
For Dave's awesome music taste. Well, thank you, Cameron. Appreciate that. Gene Bean, 2222 through Castomatic. He says, I wonder if the company they wanted the tracking prefix, the company that wanted the tracking prefix would settle for OP3 being added and then being able to see the data from it. Kind of a middle ground between no analytics and their creepy stuff.
Possible. Yeah. I mean, that's the interesting part about V4V. I mean, I put all of my shows, everything I do, I send through OP3 to help, send in some data as my contribution. But I never look at it.
I don't either.
I look at, can I pay the rent? That's literally all I look at. That's the value for value lifestyle.
Let's see. Of Joel Satchel Richards, 1111 through Fountain. He says, Dave is spot on with the ancestral diets. I knew I was. Gene Bean, 2222 through Castomatic says, there's nothing wrong with your audio, Dave. Good to hear. I need a constant affirmation of my audio. Sir Sean of the Allegheny Valley, a.k.a. Sean McCune. Through Castomatic 2029 sats, no note. Thank you, Sean. Joel W., 1111 through Fountain. He says, what strikes me odd in the Noster world is people cucking themselves over Dorsey as if he wasn't running Twitter when all the censoring began. Throw some money around and I guess we see where people's values truly stand.
Right. That's right. It's true. It's
good
true.
Point. Good point. Sir Spencer, 33333 through Fountain. He says, thank you so much, Dave and Adam. This was my favorite board meeting to date. For all artists who are growing tired of the Wait Lake, V4V features are easily
accessible. Did he say Wait Lake?
Yes, he did.
Okay, that's funny.
Are easily accessible to driven and talented individuals such as yourself today. DIY value agreements, interactive boostergrams with fan messages, and more are accessible now. Want to retain full control of your value? Don't wait. Don't wait like a day longer. Ask someone in Homegrown Hits IRC channel how to home grow. We'll show you the way. Heart, heart, heart.
Nice.
Thank you, Sir Spencer. Appreciate that, buddy. Kniga, 3521 through Pod Friend. No note.
Yeah, I love how you say his name.
Hey man, I'm from Alabama.
Alabama, I know. That's okay. Yep. That's all right.
Land of beavers. there's a lot of beaver in Alabama. Robert Suzuki.
I'm just gonna leave that one where it is.
My grandmother used to keep. My aunt. She's passed away now. She lived on a lake out in about 30 minutes north of Birmingham, very deep in the woods. And she kept a 22 just sitting out on the back porch because there's about once every couple of months, a beaver would try to build a dam and clog up the work. So she just, pop it from the back porch. Yeah. She'd go out there with a cup of coffee in the morning and see it and just,
I could just see her doing it too. Mm-hmm. Would she sit in her rocking chair while she did that?
She sat in it afterwards and read the paper. Robert Suzuki, 1184 through Pod Fans. Thank you. Appreciate it. No note. He was streaming the show. Seeing lots of Pod Fans come through now. That's good to see. A lot of Pod Fans traffic. Beavenauer, 1234. This is V4V. Thank you, Beavenauer. Source D sent a 1701, a Star Trek boost. Says, Dave, it sounds a lot better this episode. I guess he's talking about my audio. Thank you, Source D.
I got to say, we all sound great. Dovidos is using, man, those Rode guys, they make good products. You're using, what are you using, Dovidos?
It's called Rode NT USB.
It's a great, great sound.
Yeah, you don't have any interface or anything. It's just straight out of the mic into the computer, right?
Exactly. Just a USB port to my ThinkPad. That's all.
That's perfect. Bad Career Advice Chad, a big satchel of Richards, one way showing off, 11111 through Fountain, says, Dave, EFF walking back the Noster gonorrhea wishes on the Bitcoin bros. The Bitcoin bros are ripping lines of coke off each other's butt cheeks.
Wait a minute. Didn't we already do that one? I have a feeling we did that one. Didn't we do that last week? I have a feeling. It sounds familiar.
I don't something, know that we
some
did.
Things this I just is... don't forget.
let's see. Okay. The Bitcoin bros are ripping lines of coke off each other's butt cheeks while y'all Christianity turned the other cheek. I, on behalf of Dave and an apprehensive Adam, wish warty gonorrhea filled boils on the Bitcoin bros' noses so they are reminded on every rip of their cheap coke that they are being carried on the shoulders of Lightning Network giants, the Sage and the Podfather.
Oh, also, my goodness.
Also, Spicy Pod Sage is my favorite. The Spicy Pod Sage goes back in the box for a while, and this is not... It makes me unhappy.
It's okay. We all, you know, I feel that you went from spicy pod sage. I feel that by the end of the last episode, you were much more lavender like.
Lavender. Just don't put it in my coffee. Anonymous 5,000 sats through Podverse. V for V works. In the 60s, my wife's aunt had some success with a burger joint based on V for V. Until arguments with local gov related to Virginia's newly adopted state sales tax made her decide it wasn't worth the hassle. You can even sell burgers V for V, evidently. Anonymous 5,000 Sassy Podverse. My impression of Noster fans, I did not intend to ignite Noster hatred.
Well, I know you didn't intend, but as you understand what happened, it was not your finest moment.
Maybe I did intend to. Not entirely intended. 5,000 says, he says, my impression of Noster fans is that they're done with the pragmatism and want to build something completely censorship resistant, even if it takes another decade before it works reliably enough for grandma. Not sure I understand their preference for BTC over privacy coin, and sure don't understand how putting one's faith in 10 mysterious relays is better than copy-paste to 10 centralized platforms.
Yeah.
Good point. Yep. Let's see. What do we got here?
Can I just say something about Noster?
Sure.
I realize Noster has the same problem OPML has. Well, OPML... the true outline processor markup language is such, I love it. It is so powerful. I use it in my daily life all the time. I use all the features like node includes, and there's so much that can be done, but because of early RSS subscription lists, that's all they're used for. In the wide world of computing. Because really, a lot of the stuff we're talking about, OPML is a beautiful solution to that. And we even had, what do we have? Didn't we have an OPML, SOPML we had? We had a lot of different things.
We did the namespace for the OPML. Yeah.
When I was thinking about, you know, this Russell Brand stuff, I'm like, you know, really, you know, we need to move away from... the idea of platforms like X and Threads, even to a degree Mastodon, we just need to go back to an app that creates a feed and that aggregates feeds. And that's how you publish and that's how you subscribe. And you get them from people's, you know, from their servers, or maybe do it from some kind of space out there, hash space or IPFS or... You know, that is ultimately the only solution. And in that scenario, we were way ahead of the game 10 years ago. OPML is a great solution. So what OPML is to RSS, Noster is to social networking. Noster, of course, is much more powerful as an identity and, you know, that you can carry around, but it will forever be buried under the social networking. Just like OPML will forever be a way to, you know, export and import RSS feeds, specifically podcast feeds, to be honest about it. It's too bad.
One One day when we finish fixing podcasting, we'll return to
Freedom Controller. Okay. Yeah. All right. You got a deal. You got a deal. I'm excited about it.
Can I say something?
Yes, of course. Go ahead, Douglas.
I mean, it's such a huge problem, this whole idea of essentially aggregating content in an open way. I mean, mm-hmm. we already had it with blogs. We even had it with Twitter, which had RSS feeds. And I feel we are against such a powerful force. All of these social media companies, they have no incentive to share the content that people post on their platforms in an open way. So there really has to be some innovative idea that essentially offers a better experience than what they currently do. Because without that, I feel it's very, very difficult to convince people to, you know, use RSS readers and go back to the old days.
Well, isn't that exactly what we're doing with podcasts now, though? I mean, yes, we have some centralized systems, and we have, you know, Podcast Index is doing a lot of the heavy lifting aggregation so the clients can stay light. But in general, you could do this for blogs.
You could do that, but I guess podcasting had this advantage that from the very beginning, the idea of a podcast was that it's an RSS feed. You know, with writing, articles, etc., they come in many, many forms.
It started, I guess what you could say is that blogging started HTML and then adopted RSS later, whereas podcasting is RSS native from its birth.
Exactly.
Fair enough. Blogs, look, Google Reader was a thing. My wife had Google Reader. My wife loved Google Reader. She loved subscribing to blogs. And then Google killed it because we allowed it to be centralized by the Satan. By the way, I don't know why I associate Todd with Satan, but I just want to give him a shout out for podcastmirror.com. I love what he's doing there. Great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great, people have asked us to do this 100 times and we've always said no, because we're not going to make an app and we're not going to be a podcast host. It's just not, that's not anything we do. And we're never going to do that. So that, like, this was exactly filling a thing that people have always wanted. Yeah. This
can,
was perfect.
Can you map a domain name to it though? Is that part of his, I mean,
I don't know, Todd should let us know. I don't know.
That would be the ultimate. I mean, you know, so I don't have to be podcastmirror.com/Adam or whatever. You know, it could be, if I could map my domain name to it. And in fact, he should be selling domain. Where's the GoDaddy link?
It's got to be a C name would do it, right?
I would hope so. Yeah,
of course.
I would hope so.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got to.
Yeah.
Tone Wrecker 10101 through Fountain. He says, brainstorm. Now that chapters allow listener to navigate playback in many podcasting 2.0 apps, has anyone created a choose your own adventure style show where the host narrator prompts audience to make a decision at various points and the listener proceeds to the specific chapter to continue? Just a thought this morning to share with the group. That's a neat idea. That's a pretty neat idea. I like it.
I don't understand it yet. What is he saying?
Oh, you don't?
No. Say it again.
No, he's saying, like, lay out a choose your own adventure style podcast, so that, like, episode where you can, like, depending on, say, you know, you the main character gets to this decision point, do you choose this or do you choose that, and then you would click on the chapter.
Oh, and it would take it would jump somewhere else.
Yeah, and it'd jump you to the appropriate audio, sort of like a text adventure game but in audio form.
Interesting.
That's pretty neat. Yeah, that's interesting. I like it.
Hey, can we do a web app with a web app that creates feeds and aggregates feeds? I'm just not, now I'm thinking we got to fix blogs too. I'm just like, let's fix social networking.
Yeah. Come back, Adam.
Okay. I'm here again. Yes, I'm here again.
Woo. Todd Cochran, 175,000.
Whoa. What's going on, Todd Cochran? Nice.
Says, Adam, Dave, we need to start calling podcast platforms that don't have any podcasting 2.0 implementations non-compliant. and non-certified, aka PSP. Obviously, we're excited to bring Podcasting 2.0 to those podcasters on those non-compliant hosting sites via Podcast Mirror. As we talked, we're all in. More coming soon from the Blueberry team. Got excited to also announce that Blueberry podcasters have earned $10,000 collectively since we implemented V4V.
Okay, questions. Why, I know it's a question for Todd. Why is it difficult for him to do item level podcast mirroring? It's obviously technical, but do you understand why?
Yeah, I think it's because the stuff in the items change, whereas the channel doesn't much. So you would have to go and you'd publish your episode, then you'd have to wait for Podcast Mirror to reflect the change, then go over and edit a separate set of things. Whereas with just feed level stuff.
Oh, of course, because you don't have the item stuff to actually send. It's not in your original feed. Duh. Okay. Got it. Yeah. I got it. Yep. Okay. I see.
So you were exactly right last week when you predicted based on Todd's level of grumpiness that he was about to ship something. You nailed it. It's
like when Todd gets grumpy, ship is happening.
Yep, it's coming.
Oh, we love it, Todd. It's good.
Comic strip blogger, 33015 Delimiter. He says, through Fountain, he says, okay, always. He says, howdy, Bitcoin lovers, Dave and Adam. Could you kindly ask your listeners to visit my blog at www.csb.lol for my cartoons that do not feature baboons? If they have cartoon ideas for me to draw, they can tweet them to my Twitter handle at CSB. Please note that the handle is just three letters, C, S, and B. Yo, CSB.
Yo, thank you, CSB. CSB, man. Always around.
We got some monthlies here. We got... Trevor Azenor, $5. Trevor, I changed your feed URL for you, buddy. Paul Erskine, $11.14. Michael Goggin, $5. Charles Current, $5. Christopher Reamer, $10. James Sullivan, $10.
Oh, nice.
Sean McCune of the Allegheny Valley, $20. And Kong Glassbach, $5. Thank you.
And thank you, Dreb Scott. I see you over there on Tally Coin. With 56,396. He says, tally ho. He is so badass, Dreb Scott. He just sends stuff through Tally Coin just to see if we're checking it. Just to make sure we're still awake. Thank you very much, everyone, for these value for value support. It truly is awesome that you're doing that. It keeps the podcast going. Well, the podcast is really just the weekly board meeting of the entire project. You are supporting us for all of the systems you are supporting. We got an upgrade to the Mastodon. Do you see that?
I did. It took me off guard. It kind of threw my
And it posts faster now. Yeah, I'm not sure what Masto Host did, because we use Masto Host. We upgraded a couple times to be able to support search and just the amount of bandwidth and storage that we use. So all of that, and a couple of years of runway in case Dave and Adam fall down and decide that we're dead. So it will continue to run.
We decide that we're dead.
So no, we keep a nice margin in there, and it's all very much appreciated, especially people like Marco as well. Thank you all. We really appreciate it. Go to podcastindex.org. At the bottom of that page, you'll find two red buttons, one for your PayPal. That's for your for your fiat fund coupons. Exit decision. Is that what Servo says?
It's
exit decision.
It's not an exit strategy. It's exit decision.
And there's also the Tallycoin link there. But of course, we'd like you to go to podcastapps.com. Grab your... Marcus, is HTTPS working? Because Marcus owns podcastapps.com. He bought that and he's forwarding it to... Okay. I don't... Some people seem to have problem with... with the secure HTTPS. Either that or newpodcastapps.com, or if you wish, nudepodcastapps.com. They all work.
Also functional.
And grab one of those apps and boost us. Boost us and let us know. And when you're boosting, you help everybody. The whole ecosystem. That's what we love the most.
Feels good.
Boosting is loving. It's the bottom line. Boosting is loving.
Oh, you missed my cue. I queued you up for an ISO.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This feels good.
I was going to play it at the end of the show. Oh, Dovidos, man. Anything else we can do for you? Is there anything that we can support you with in your side hustle, hopefully one day to be exit decision?
Well, one of the things I probably want to do is probably chat to you, Adam, because you have been leading this effort of doing music shows. So I really want to talk to people who are already doing it, trying to understand what is the workflow and what can the hosting publishing companies do to essentially make this as smooth as possible.
How about this? How about this for an idea? Because people have been asking me to do this for no agenda, but I was thinking of doing it for Boostagram Ball first. Why don't I do a screencast of the show, so you can, and then I'll do it with some of the prep time so you can see the whole workflow, and I'll put that out on No Agenda Tube, and you can take a look at it, and that'll really give you an idea of, you know, because it's there's a combination of things that happens, but the workflow is really a lot of split kit for the preparation and then for the live play out. And would that be helpful?
Oh, yeah, that's perfect.
Okay.
I mean, yes, the live aspect of the whole thing probably adds more complication. So my first step is going to be just doing a regular show with wall switching, and live shows is going to be more in the future.
Have you looked at SplitKit at all? Have you checked that out?
I have, yes.
Because what SplitKit does is forget the live stuff, but the important part is, I mean, it's really phenomenal. So first, okay, I already know the 15 songs I'm going to play, and so the first hurdle, but you know, I get around it, is I find them, you know, they're all over the place, but I find them through LM Beats, I find them through Wavelake, I fly, you know, just people send me stuff. Mm-hmm. I go and I search for all of those at podcastindex.org under the music tab. Then I get the song, I click the download link. So then the MP3 downloads, I name it, and then I save it in the folder. So that's already a process that I should be easier. Then I, right. When I'm going to do the show, the way I do it, you know, sometimes I do stuff on the fly, but I basically come up with my list. Like, you know, I'm going to play this song first, then this song, then this song, this song. So I go into SplitKit. SplitKit makes it very easy to just search for those songs. What they don't make is, SplitKit should make it easy for me just to download the song right there. But that, so I should be able to do everything in SplitKit. I search for the song, I click in, I add it, boom, it's added. So then as I'm doing the show, the minute I play the next song, I go over to SplitKit, I hit the button, which then sets a timestamp, like, okay, you started playing this song at this time. The song is this long, so it knows when it'll end, and then it goes back to my value block. So that's really the workflow. Then when I'm done, then I go back, I look at my file, and I say, okay, the second song started at 3 minutes and 45 seconds, according to SplitKit, but of course it was later because I already started the song, so I'll go and adjust that time. That really only takes about 15 minutes. It takes much less time than you think it does, but you know, just to get it exactly right. So the value time split starts at the right moment. Now here's the beauty. This is the beauty that I think people should consider using SplitKit's capability, because I then go to Sovereign Feeds and I just import all that information from the SplitKit. SplitKit has a number of export options. One is into Sovereign Feeds, which I use to create my feed. And I just paste the URL and it loads all of those value time split blocks. In addition, right, it also has a show notes. And I hit that and it gives me the list of all the songs. I can just copy paste that right into my show notes. And it outputs a chapter file, which is the biggest beauty. Mm-hmm. So now I just have a JSON chapter file that is good to go the minute I publish, and it has all the start time. So everything fires beautifully all at the same time. So the question is, do you want to recreate the SplitKit functionality in your own interface, which I can understand why people would want to do that, or do you want to just take the import from SplitKit and send your users to SplitKit? That would be up to you. But that's Split. Without SplitKit, I would not be doing the show. It would be too complicated for me to hand code it and get all that stuff done.
Right. Yes. I mean, the main challenge here is to actually unify all of the podcasting 2.0 aspects. So one of them is value time splits. One other thing is chapters that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's one interface that essentially does that, merges things in a smart way so that people just coming into this new concept understand it intuitively. Mm-hmm. I think that's the perfect scenario.
Yeah, because basically, now there's a whole bunch of steps. So basically, in an ideal world, I would go in, I'd say, here's the songs I want to play. They'd be kind of like in a bin sitting there. And then, okay, I'm going to play this song. I click that song. Mm-hmm. It automatically sets the start time as I play it. Next song, I click it. Same thing. Then when I'm done, I click a box and then it spits out chapters, spits out show note. Everything is all in place. I don't even have to copy paste it. It just all goes in. That would be the ideal way. And for extra points, have it integrate with my playout system so that it downloads the MP3s. And then when I start the MP3, automatically hits the start time. And there's all kinds of stuff that I could imagine that would make it easier for me personally. But I think most people will probably... You know, I can envision a little mixer in the interface so you don't even download songs. You play them. I prefer to use my system, but so you just have a little mixer, you know, song one, song two. You know, it's that simple. Song one, it's over, play song two. SplitKit has some of that built into it. I'll do a video, and if you want to, we can chat. Hey, we'll take it offline, Davidas.
I remember you did that. I remember you did that once before with No Agenda. It's been a long time ago. But I looked at it
6 years ago. It's embarrassing to see the system I was working with, so I have to do a new one. But that was that was more just to show people how crazy it is when John's talking. I'm looking for clips. I'm dragging stuff in. Just to see the whole production process is kind of funky when you see it. I got to do that again. I have a camera. I have software. I can do this. I can do this.
I would love that.
I was trying.
Thank you, Adam.
Yeah, of course, man. No problem at all. And I'll try to do it on a, because what is it for you now? Is it almost 9 o'clock, 8:45?
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. On a Friday night,
I was trying to compile that script, that Rust script that you
did it work?
Pasted, but I can't find it now. I can't find the text file.
And I was wondering, I had a feeling that it may not have completed yet.
It looked like it was missing some closing curly braces.
I thought it was done, but it was. No, hold on a second. Let me do this. Did I copy that? Yes, there we go. Watch this.
Are you going to paste it in again?
I'm going to paste it to you.
Are you going to send it to me?
There it is. Signals? Yeah, on the signals. There it is. I mean, it wasn't blazingly fast. But it was sovereign. I did it on my own system. No one knows that I did it. It doesn't report on me. Doesn't tell me any bad things. And I have no idea what Rust even is. So the fact that it did that in an hour is just impressive. On my little Start 9 box here, that's impressive to me.
Speaking of Rust, one interesting thing I've tried a few months ago is actually using Rust on the front end. Because we have this idea of WebAssembly, which means that we can now have all kinds of different languages running on the front end. So people who would maybe want to check out, they can go to tools.rssblue.com to see what a Rust front end app actually looks like. So it's a little experiment, but I might actually develop this further in the future.
Oh, nice. Excellent. I think I remember you posting that. What is it?
So there are a few things. So, you know, I've tried all kinds of different things with it. So one of them is podcast GUI generator. So where you just enter your podcast feed's URL and it generates the podcast GUI using the right format. Then the other thing we have is Sloth OP3, which I should probably retire because we now have OP3 pages. But what it did initially, it would essentially post your enclosure URL, and it would essentially plot your downloads over time. Mm-hmm. And then we also have validator, which is podcasting 2.0 tags validator, which essentially does all the validation in your browser.
Wow.
This real-time update. This is not a compilable script.
No, I just sent you a link. It's still writing the script.
It's almost there.
It's slow, but it's literally writing it, you know, word by word, but it's doing it. I'll send it to you when it says it's complete. It's a little unclear when these things are complete. You got to go back. Are you off or are you back to the, office?
Back.
Hey, can we, back okay. So I have a weird thing happening on Friday. Next Friday. Can we do Thursday evening?
Thursday.
Is that possible for you?
We can, but it'll need to be late.
That's okay.
I've actually started rock climbing with my daughter. So we do that on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
That's okay. Because I need some time to decompress after no agenda anyway. But if we could do that, because I don't want to miss a board meeting, but I'm traveling to Houston and it's like everything. My whole life is a mess, Dave. It's a mess.
you're falling apart. So like 8 o'clock.
Oh yeah, no, that's not late. Yeah, that's fine. Perfect. 8 o'clock. All right, everybody. Board meeting will be 8 o'clock Central Time on Thursday. So join us for that. Dovidos, man, thank you so much. Congratulations with everything rssblue.com. I always put it in the list on the Boostagram ball, so people know they can also use that for their music uploads. And we'll be in touch about the workflow for creating value for value music shows.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, David. No,
thanks for coming, man. Really appreciate you being here. And thank you, chat room. Thank you all so much for being here for this very important board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. We will return next week, Thursday, 8 p.m. Central Time. See you then.
Podcasts are cool. You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
This feels good.